There may still be some misunderstandings about today's mining industry, and these companies recognize this and are taking the proper steps to educate the public on what's currently being done to address safer and cleaner mining practices. In this edition of the Voices of Montana podcast, Women in Mining Montana President Lacey Morrison and Communications Vice President of Sandfire Resources America Nancy Schlepp joined the program to talk about the ongoing Black Butte Copper Project and answer some questions about what exactly it's bringing to the table, along with the growing roles that women are playing in today's mining industry.
Let's welcome Nancy Schlepp. She's the Vice President of Communication for Sandfire. And then also with her is Lacey Morrison. She's also with Sandfire and President of Women in Mining in Montana. And good morning, Nancy. How's it going?
Good morning. Everything is well here in White Sulphur Springs. How are things in Billings?
Oh, I think we've got some snow all around the state. Did you guys get some? You had to have.
We did. We have about 3 inches on the ground here this morning. It's beautiful. I hope we get a little more.
Thank God. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's just it unnerves me if I don't see snow on the ground in February, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lacey Morrison is with you as well. Good morning, Lacey. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm curious. What's it like to work with Nancy?
It's been great.
Oh.
I've worked with her for about 4 years now, okay. And it's been fantastic.
Oh, that's a good answer. See, I thought you would look at her and go, oh, my God, I can't tell you the horror stories that I've had. No, just
never.
Kidding. Yeah, I know.
That'll be tomorrow.
That'll be after this interview, I'm sure. And Nancy will go, what's it like to work with Tom Schultz? And Lacey will say, it is horrible. thank you guys for being here. Let's get started. And whatever you want to start, but Nancy, Highlands College contract, Sandfire Resources has entered into some kind of contract with the mining university there, should say, Montana Tech. And is it in relation to kind of like what I said, just making sure we're doing a better job of educating the public about what today's mining is all about?
You know, I think this contract is really about giving an opportunity to every single one of our employees and thinking about this a little differently. And so, you know, our number one goal is to make sure that anyone that works here is upskilled so they can do a good job here. But when they look for another job, they have something that they can take with them as well. And I think it's also going to be a really great way to have locals be able to be part of the project. And so the whole goal here with our Highlands College contract, which is the two-year university associated with Montana Tech, is that every single one of our employees, through the curriculum that we write specifically for our company and our mine, will have a path for any employee to get a two-year mining technology degree. And along the way, there'll be a lot of certifications that will help as well. And I think this is a new model for companies and corporations. In fact, they've been contacted by several other companies and two other mining companies that want to do something similar. We know that workforce is important. We know that it's very competitive, and we want to develop our workforce the best way we can.
Lacey, is that part of the impetus as well? I know this Women in Mining in Montana organization is relatively new. Did you guys play a part in this?
Well, the Women in Mining organization actually has been around for quite a while. It is a national organization, but it's spread out all over the world, and actually being involved with it in another country is where I kind of saw firsthand. And so we're still getting developed, still establishing our bylaws and creating meetings and schedules right now, but we hope to incorporate educating people on modern mining as we get more developed.
This is the first time Montana has had a chapter.
Yeah. Thank you for that. What is modern mining?
We mostly just want to, as you kind of touched on earlier, we do use a lot of technology that hasn't been used in the U.S. before, and having the opportunity to showcase it here in Montana and get rid of the legacy issues or what people perceive as mining in Montana is a big goal for us as well.
You know, I love the analogy. I always picture, I saw recently on the internet a picture of Mr. Ford's first car. And really, it was a box with four huge bicycle tires on it. And now think about the cars we have that can drive themselves and have heated seats and have OnStar. And that's the same direction that mining has gone. We've seen huge advances over the last hundred years. And as I've shared with your listeners before, I don't think we've done a great job of sharing that with the general public. And so the mining you'll see at our operation will be highly technical, using lots of computers, lots of computer programming for figuring out how the deposits lay underground and how to mine them underground, how to get the best recovery from the rock once it's in the mill. So a lot of changes, and a lot of changes really great on the safety front. And that's what a lot of our training will be aimed at also, is safety protocols and having higher amounts of safety in the workplace.
That's very much appreciated as well. It's Nancy Schlepp, who's Vice President of Communications for Sandfire Resources. And also with her is Lacey Morrison, who's a senior geologist with the organization and president of Women in Mining in the Montana chapter. Safety, I'm glad, because obviously we look back and mining was, in a lot of ways, it was tough work. We'll just put it that way. So focusing on that, that's always in everybody's business, I think. You guys have faced an awful lot of environmental pressures, the mining industry, over the years. What in the new mining, so to speak, addresses some of their major concerns regarding reclamation and groundwater pollution?
Great question. So I would say the biggest change in the last 100 years for the protecting the environment is how tailings are treated. And tailings are the what's left over after you take whatever metal you're mining out of the rock. So, for instance, ours will be copper. And historically, what would happen with tailings is they would be thrown in whatever creek bed or in the valley because that was the easiest. And over time, getting exposed to oxygen and water and the sulfur that was in the rock would create sulfuric acid and create a lot of the issues. So the whole goal now is to make sure that can never happen on a mining site. And we are going to use a technology that's been used a lot underground. We're going to be cementing our tailings and putting half of them underground, which has happened for 30-plus years. What has not happened is when you grind up something so fine, it doubles in size. So we'll be putting the other half into a cemented tailings facility that's double lined and will all be cemented. And the reason that hasn't happened to date is it's very expensive. And mines have been able to make sure that this there's no sulfuric acid created by covering the tailings with water and using up all the oxygen. So we're just taking that to another level, knowing we're in the Smith River Basin. And I think that you'll start seeing our community of White Sulfur Springs in Marr County being a national place for mining tourism and companies to come to see how we're doing this, because this is the next frontier and taking things to the next level.
I do want to get into that process as well, because it's sort of a danged if you do, danged if you don't situation when it comes to satisfying the environmental community's concerns over this. I mean, it's a brand new process, which you believe and have got science to show it's going to be real effective in meeting those goals. But yet they want to argue as well that it hasn't been tried, so it shouldn't be tried, which is kind of silly. But before we get to that, Lacey, I wanted to get your thoughts as well on, how has modern mining then addressed those concerns that we've had in the past, as sort of, Nancy, if you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I think we just need to, with Women in Mining, we really want to just educate the community. And we really want to with modern mining comes a lot more opportunities. What we hope to, show with women that they can do the job too. There's no job underground that a woman can't do, especially with this new era of mining that we call modern mining. So that's a big mission for us, and just educating and mentoring and developing these skills that women feel they can get into mining and excel at, and that it's not rough and tough like it used to be, and with a lot of the legacy mining issues and how people perceive. So we just really want to show that women can get out there and do it too, and it's for everyone, really.
All right. Nancy, did you want to follow up on that?
I do. I want to say Lacey's one of the smartest women I know, and she's a scientist that takes her science seriously, as I think most women in mining do. What I'd like to add to that is with the modern mining and all of the technology that's available, there really is no job that a woman can't do because there's not going to be extremely heavy machinery or lifting. All of it is automated. So we're looking for the best and brightest men and women because it's going to take a lot of brains to do this well.
Lacey, I see why you like working with Nancy. How many women are in mining right now?
Across the nation, I would say generally the workforce is 8 to 12%. Here at Black Butte, we strive to get 40%. We are currently at 45% women, but that's not always the case in a lot of mines. I've worked in mines where I'm part of 5%, and most of the time, the only woman underground.
Yeah.
So, building those numbers up is very important.
And I want to come back because I've got a break here. It's probably coming up in 40 seconds or so. I want to come back and ask the question. And I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just trying to appreciate perspectives. What do women bring? How can they change mining? Or how do they enhance mining? What does women in the workforce in the mining industry mean? So we'll talk more about that. Lacey Morrison is with us, a geologist with Sandfire Resources, also president of Women in Mining, the Montana chapter. And speaking again with Nancy Schlepp, vice president of communications for Sandfire Resources. From Montana, for Montana, voices of Montana.
How many times have you asked your young adult about future career plans? Did you know your student can work towards a career in one of Montana's high-demand career and technical fields while enrolled in school? Career and technical education in high school helps drive students into high-skill, high-wage, in-demand careers right here in Montana. To explore one of the 16 different career pathways with your student, visit opi.mt.gov.
Brought to you by the Montana Office of Public Instruction.
It's called the Treasure State. There's a lot of treasures in this state that we love. Some of them are resources, right? We appreciate the economic boost, the economic input that mining is and our resources industry is. We also appreciate our recreation industry in Montana. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. As we kind of catch up today on the Black Butte Project and as well as mining in Montana from a different perspective. Nancy Schlepp is with us, Vice President of Communications for Sandfire, and then President of Women in Mining in the Montana chapter. It's Lacey Morrison, who's also a senior geologist. And thank you guys both for being here. Appreciate that. We'll catch up on the mine in a little bit. But Lacey, I asked that question, and maybe Nancy, you can follow up on it too. What is there? Is there something that women bring unique to the workforce industry? I know there is. What do you think that is? And how can more women in mining better that industry?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that women bring something completely different. I think that just having the brightest and best people available to you, and sometimes maybe those people are overlooked because of the industry. And so I think just having the pool of people for it to be open for you to choose from the best employees, I think is what is the point we're trying to get across maybe. It's been shown that, the healthiest workplaces have a mix. So I think just having that mix of men and women in the workplace is very important. It's also been shown that women are, in fact, easier on equipment, so maybe they do bring that to the table.
I have to laugh at that because I don't think Eric and I are not going to argue with you, when it comes to that. Nancy, just your thoughts on that as well. What excites you about women in mining?
Yeah, I think Lacey really stated it well, in that we are looking for the brightest and best, and that's going to be across the board. And what we're seeing in some of the trainings we go to when we're talking about inclusion is there's no one asking for special treatment. They just want the opportunity. And so we're finding that a lot of people that maybe worked shift work in other industries are great for this industry because they're used to working the long hours. Maybe somebody with a spotless driving record would be great in driving one of these haul trucks underneath the ground. And so really just wanting to make sure that we hire the best people all the way around and showcasing that people have the same needs. You know, one of the big needs for us is going to be childcare, and that just isn't women, that's men as well. So we're going to have to be flexible. I've been so excited about the people we've been able to bring on here. Lots of folks that wanted to move back to Montana, lots of really great people that were doing this internationally that have great skills, and just trying to find the best fit so that we're progressive has been fantastic.
From White Sulphur Springs, Lacey Morrison is a senior geologist with Sandfire, and you just heard from Nancy Schlepp, Vice President of Communications for Sandfire. So, Lacey, I want to ask you that. What brought you into mining, or what? Why was it a hard decision?
Mining, actually, it kind of just fell into place for me here. I was out of high school. I grew up here in White Sulphur Springs, so I was just working in town, and when the Black Butte project actually came in 2010, 2011 and started drilling out the resources, really when I started to become interested in where it could take me. And so it was at that point, I went back to college for geology in 2011 in the hopes that I could move home and work on this project and give back to the community that I grew up in. So for me, it worked out pretty well. I did get some experience in Alaska in the meantime and travel over to Western Australia too. So for me, it's been really rewarding, but just being able to be a part of this project here in my hometown is really why I got into it.
And what about the Old Boys Network? Let me ask you about that, Nancy. You know, I think that for a long time, people have accepted that there's this old boy network in mining, but there's been a lot of pushback against that. Is that even, and I know it's kind of a difficult topic for maybe you to address, but have we seen enough pushback there to make a difference?
You know, I think the way I'm going to answer that question is I started my career in natural resources and government relations 25 years ago plus, and at that time, I would be a lot of times the only female in a room full of males, and that has definitely changed over time. But I've also can say I have never faced not being accepted in that room.
Good.
If you know what you're talking about, you're going to be accepted, and I think that's the case. We have not experienced the Old Boys Club here. I know the other mines in Montana are fairly progressive as well. I do hear stories from other places, but it really isn't how you set the tone. And I think the tone has been set really well here.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I get that sense as well. It's good to hear that. Good to hear you verify that, too, that you know, if you know your stuff, that's the main thing. Let's take a break and come on back, and we'll, in this last segment, get updated on the Black Butte Project. Nancy Schlepp, Vice President of Communications for Sandfire Resources, and a senior geologist, Lacey Morrison, here today on Voices. Here's Brian Bennett.
It's called a whiteout, and it requires caution. Snowplows create a cloud of snow that limits visibility for drivers following too closely, oncoming vehicles, and sometimes even the snowplow driver. Be patient. Plows maneuver slowly to clear the roads. As you approach a snowplow, slow down and give the plow driver room to work. Remember, don't crowd the plow. A safety message from AAA Mountain West and the Montana Department of Transportation.
Nancy Schlepp with us, Vice President of Communications for Sandfire Resources. We got Lacey Morrison as well, who's the senior geologist for Sandfire. And again, that's the Black Butte Project, Black Butte Copper Project, I should say, which is north of White Sulphur Springs. And Lacey's president of Women in Mining in the Montana chapter. But Nancy, you've been there as well, the board of directors for the Montana Chamber of Commerce, executive board for the Montana Taxpayers Association, Mark County Commissioner. I think you're still working with the foundation. So guys are keeping busy. I appreciate that. Give us an update, Nancy, on where this project is.
Thanks. I'd happily give you an update. You know, just like every project worldwide, we were hit hard by COVID. We got our permit in the spring of 2020, right when COVID hit. We were able to go forward with phase one of our construction. But things have really slowed down, and mostly in the court system they've slowed down. So we did have our hearing about our mine operating permit last summer. We do not have a decision on that yet. And then what really slowed down was our water mitigation package, and that has not been finalized yet. So our board and management team is really waiting to start phase two construction until we have a little more clarity on that front. But it's looking good. We are excited to create 240 great-paying jobs. Our payroll will be over $12 million. We're going to be an economic driver for not just central Montana, but Montana in general. And what we've been doing lately because of COVID to try and use this time wisely is a drilling program for a second deposit that we have found that we have not started to permit yet. And Lacey is actually in charge of that drill program, so I'd like her to tell you about that.
Yeah, so this we started in late August drilling out what we call the Lowry deposit. That sits about a mile and a half to the east of our permitted deposit, the Johnny Lee. And so what we've been working on since September is we have five drill rigs drilling out this deposit to bring it to a point to a pre-feasibility study. So I'm hoping to drill about 45,000 feet of diamond core between September and March. So that's been keeping us really busy here, five rigs running 24 hours a day. So hoping to have some good results and put together a pre-feasibility study this spring.
Nice. And copper, I mean, Nancy, the demand for copper has kind of waxed and waned over the years, like all the commodities and resources. But it seems for the next several years, if not a couple of decades, that we're going to see a high demand for the product.
Absolutely. You know, with the greening of industries and third world countries becoming second world countries, the demand for copper has just been increasing while there have not been new mines coming on and some have been retiring. So our economics looks fairly good. And just as a reminder, every windmill you see has 4 tons of copper in it. Electric engines have 3 to 4 times the amount of copper as regular ones do. And then you also have a real surge for copper in hospitals and in any healthcare industry as their antibacterial surfaces. So you take that along with countries like India wanting electricity and refrigeration, and the future looks very bright for copper.
Quick shout out. We got 15 seconds. So who's helping you over there at Highlands?
Oh, Highlands College, thanks for asking. It's been great. Kieran Van Devere, who is the interim dean, and Michelle Morley, who is the director of associate science and workforce development, have been championing this, and I can't say enough about them. Kudos and thank you to both of them.
I appreciate that you're getting involved in education. I don't have time to ask about the child care question, but we'll come back some other day and talk with Nancy Schlepp and Lacey Morrison. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.